This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Coming out to play.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Who's that?
The Rockets coming out to play.
Draymond Green.
Oh.
Your boy Day-Day. Come on, Dan.
And Danavone. I saw somebody who went off. Who was it? Was it Kevin O'Connor? No. Somebody that I listen to or I read that really firmly believes they were doing one of those silly, because this time of the year. By the way, welcome back to Warriors This Week. It's Evan Giddings, Dan Evan. I think I just said that. You know, this time of the year, it's just slow. If you cover basketball, you know, you're trying to fill time. And these guys got to do their daily, if not doing multiple podcasts a day. That's how they make their money with their sponsors. But so they do a lot of these predictions in the second half of the season. And some of these are bold predictions. One of which is that the honeymoon between Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler is going to come to an end. And then we're going to see a public sort of feud between those two, much like that of Draymond Green and Kevin Durant in Los Angeles.
No chance. No chance. I vehemently disagree with whichever podcaster you're referring to. I don't know his name. I don't know who he's from. I completely disagree. And the reason is, with all due respect to Kevin Durant, KD's kind of a poodle. Draymond Green doesn't have a problem with people that he respects. He has a problem with people that he senses fear in. He's talked about this. People have explained this about him. If he senses someone's on the court with him that isn't bought in, that doesn't have his respect, I don't care if he's on the same team as him or a different team, he's going to attack them verbally, potentially physically. Jimmy Butler's not that guy. And Jimmy Butler's also someone that's not afraid to go face-to-face with Draymond Green. Like, Draymond, you notice all the guys that he picks on? They're all either foreign players, young guys, people he believes are soft. Does Jimmy Butler strike you as someone that's soft? I don't think so.
But Kevin Durant didn't strike me as soft.
Kevin Durant's a great player. He's a borderline top 10 player ever. He's soft.
I think the issue, potentially, and I'm with you, I don't necessarily subscribe to this, but at some point, unless the Warriors continue to, unless they only lose, you know, three or four games from here on out, at some point in this, aside from OKC and maybe Cleveland, you know, everybody has to deal with this, and that is there's going to be a rash of losses. You'll go through the battle of attrition that is the NBA in the second half of the season and the ebb and flow. And I think that with the new construct of this team, they can mitigate the losses. But there's probably going to be a rough patch of games where maybe you're on the road, maybe you're playing 3 and 4 nights, and you lose a little bit. Right now, we're taking the pulse of the Golden State Warriors in the midst of winning, in the midst of a feel-good with Jimmy Butler. At some point, it's almost inevitable that you're going to lose a few games. That's the only potential that there could be flare-ups. And I think after that, you'll get a better gauge as to the relationship between the two.
Yeah, I mean, I think the relationship between Butler and the Warriors is something I monitor more than Butler and Green. I don't think Jimmy's really had much of an issue in his time with players more so than he has with the front office. You know, I think you mentioned it off the top, and I think you're absolutely correct. If his money's right, if he's taken care of, he'll play nice. You know, in many ways, Jimmy Butler is a basketball mercenary, but you know exactly what you're going to get when he's happy. And right now, he's happy. Like, this is the honeymoon phase, and they're off to a 3-1 start. I thought that the Rockets win was big in light of the loss to Dallas, which is something that, you know, hurts you in the head-to-head Western Conference standings. And you didn't want to fall below 500 going into the All-Star break. So that was a big win in Houston for them. And I think the fact that the vibes are good right now, they're showing that they can win games against teams they should beat. That's going to keep everybody happy as they prepare for the last 27 games of the season and try and make something of this year. Like, how much urgency do you think is on this season, Dan? Because I know that he's locked up for two more years after this, aligns with Curry and Draymond. But how much urgency do you think it now puts on the rest of this season for the Warriors?
Oh, there's urgency in every game and every season when you're 35. The clock's ticking. It may not be urgent for the younger players, but everything's urgent, which is why, you know, when you said earlier, and I'm with you to a certain point, that this is sort of not a throwaway year, but I think you mentioned if they get into the playoffs and if they steal around, then they can sort of assess what it is that they need going forward over the offseason and then come back in full force next year. I don't think they look at it that way. I think that this is a championship or bust sort of mentality, and it sort of has to be if you only have, what, two more years of this? And so I think that the urgency, the minute you decided to get Jimmy Butler, that was the proverbial word. It's about urgent. It's about winning now. It's about the urgency of this basketball team putting together a major run. I don't think it's going to happen this year, but I do think that that is sort of the outlook of this basketball team going forward.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. But I also, I guess the reason why I don't want to look towards next year, but I also think that it's going to be really hard for the Warriors as currently constructed because for them to make a run to, say, the Western Conference Finals. Could they do it? Perhaps. Things could fall their way. There's a lot of young teams that are at the top of the West who lack experience winning multiple playoff series like the Warriors do, or the top players in the Warriors have. But if you're able to, let's say, win a round and you get to the second round, which I think would be a success for this team, to win a postseason series probably as a lower seed, then it shows you how far you are away. Like, I think the Warriors, the remainder of this season into the postseason should be about figuring out how far away you are from a championship. And I think they are drastically closer post-deadline with someone like Jimmy Butler than they were before, because I thought their percentage of winning was like zero, and now it's above zero. But if you can get into the playoffs and make some noise, or even conversely, if you figure out that you're not that close, well, then you can kind of pivot this offseason. And the one thing that Butler also does is give you a max slot. He gives you $60 million more to work with. There's room, you know, to get up to the second apron. Like, I think they're all in on this big three, but it isn't as if they haven't built kind of like an emergency hatch if things go wrong. And I think the only way that things go wrong for this season and even next season would be due to injury. What would be due to their older players getting banged up because they're in their mid to late 30s.
You know, when you talk about the playoffs, especially out in the West, it's almost like things are inverted now, right? Now you have teams like the Lakers and the Warriors in the bottom half, and then, you know, the upstarts, the OKCs, the Grizzlies, and the Nuggets. I think the West, we are in store for some serious surprises, because I think it's going to be difficult, really difficult, when you think about these young kids, because it's all about, you know, earning your stripes in the NBA. Because the playoffs are an entirely different beast It's another game. It's another planet. And these guys just haven't been there and done that when you talk about OKC. Last year, they were the number one seed going into the postseason. And they won one playoff round, and that was against New Orleans. And that was it. Is that enough for them to get them over the threshold, over the hump? I think it's going to be. When you have the Lakers, now with Doncic and LeBron, lurking, along with the Warriors and Steph and Draymond and Jimmy Butler and all of that postseason experience, I don't want to be Houston. I don't want to be Memphis. I don't want to be OKC. You know what OKC's record is against Dallas? 2-12 over the last 2 years. 2-12! And guess who they're going to draw in the first round? If the season were to end today, the Dallas Mavericks. Now, obviously, a lot of that had to do with Luka, but Luka didn't play.
I was going
to
say, there was a denominator there.
But Luka, listen, first of all, Dallas in the postseason is going to be difficult because Lively's going to be back. You're going to get, you know, I don't know if it's going to work long term, and we could put the trade side by side for the next decade, and I think you never trade Luka Doncic. I'm on record of saying that. But, you know, you give me a healthy AD, Daniel Gafford, and Derek Lively, that's a front court I'll put up against anybody, and then you get Kyrie, and whatever it is that you get out of Klay Thompson, you know, you'll take it. But they own OKC. I'm just saying, it is a different beast when you get to the postseason. And when you look at the landscape of the Western Conference right now, I think we're in store for a lot of surprises in those early rounds.
I don't think we are. I mean, there might be an upset. To me, the team you want to try and face is the Houston Rockets. The issue is that I'm not sure they're going to be good enough in the standings for you to play. Like, to me, the Warriors are...
Are you comfortable with OKC beating Dallas in a 7-game series? Both teams being full strength.
I am. Okay. Yeah. I think this is the year. I think this is the year for the Thunder to get over the hump, to make a run to the finals.
Usually takes more than a few.
Well, they got to the second round last year.
Yeah, that's one. But when you think about the experience, they don't have it. And so usually, I'm just saying, typically over the 75-year history of this league, it usually you've got to earn it. And it usually takes a couple of years. See Boston Celtics.
Well, you could also say see Golden State Warriors. They didn't have to wait their turn.
Well, the Warriors got bumped. Remember it was a while when the Clippers used to own them when they had the Splash Brothers? Early on, San Antonio bounced them.
Yeah, they knocked them out in seven game series in 2014.
Yeah, but it took a little while for them to. I get it. They were on a much faster track than most. But you know, it took a little sort of, you know, you didn't just come out of nowhere and then suddenly win the thing.
Well, I'm not saying that the Thunder are going to win the championship. I still like Boston. I mean, I think they're the best team, they're the battle tested team, but. I mean, the team that I would kind of be worried about in the playoffs matching up with, if they get high enough, would be like the Nuggets.
Oh, they scare me.
Yeah, Denver's a team you do not want to play. And the reason why, you know, looking at the Western Conference, I think the Butler trade was impactful from the standpoint of, like, you now have talent on your roster. But when you're going against OKC or Denver, I don't think you have the best player in that series. Certainly not against the Nuggets. I mean, Jokic, I think, is the best player in the world. But SGA is unreal. And they haven't even had Chet Holmgren for the majority of the season, who's also a pretty damn good player. So you're right. They're not as experienced in the postseason. And I don't know if they're going to win a championship this year. But I think this is a team that is, you can almost pencil them into the Western Conference Finals.
Well, here's the question I have about OKC. And one of the reasons why Denver, and I'm with you, now gets really scary because they answered this. Who's the number two to the Joker?
Jamal Murray.
Hello, Jamal, who was not very good early on in the season. He was a little lumpy coming back from the injuries. He dropped that 55 the other night. Jamal Murray's back. And this looks like the team that won the title a year ago. Michael Porter Jr. is much better. And then there you throw Westbrook into that mix, and he's been nothing but good with his new team, that being the Denver Nuggets. Who's the number two to SGA out in OKC? You could say Chet, but really, is it Jalen Williams? I mean, who would you say is the number two? Because you need at least two if SGA is off the floor not feeling it.
I mean, it's Jalen Williams. I think he's the guy who creates the most for them. But that's kind of the that's kind of why I think they're so good. It's like they also, Dan, like, they can lock you up.
Yeah.
Did you see what they did the other night? I think it was, who were they playing?
Memphis.
Did you see what they did to them?
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
I mean, they were down 10 and immediately just flipped the game on its head in the fourth quarter. They went on like a 21-0 run. That's what is going to win in the playoffs is defense. And so, yes, they may not have an established number two on offense. It may be SGA or bust. And you know, I have my concerns about them becoming a bit siloed. But they get stops more than any team in basketball. And to me, that's something that does translate to the playoffs.
Well, you know, as AI once said, and practice. I'm talking about not the artificial intelligence, but the real AI, Allen Iverson, that sometimes your butt cheeks just get a little tight. And in the postseason, those big possessions, I just need to see it. I just need to see them do that before I have any level of confidence in any of those guys that you mentioned, including SGA and Jalen Williams or Chet Holmgren. Look at the Ant-Man a year ago. Dominant in the regular season. He was the guy. The breakout party last year was Anthony Edwards. But in the postseason against the Dallas Mavericks in the Western Conference Finals, big possessions, he went away. Big possessions for Jimmy Butler. Give me the ball. Clear aside. I got this. I've been here. I know how to do this. Draymond Green, I'll help you defensively. I don't care the situation. We know that we live for this. There's something to be said about the experience that the Warriors have, even the Clippers to a certain degree, the Los Angeles Lakers, that I'm not necessarily penciling in OKC or anybody until they prove it first to the Western Conference Finals and or getting out of the West.
Yeah, that's fair, you know, but again, too, if you're the one seed, which they're going to be, they don't have to beat both Memphis and Denver. They don't have, like, they only have to beat one of those teams to get there. And this is why the Warriors' path, I think it has to be through the seven seed, is because I would not want to play the Thunder in the first round. I don't know. I mean, maybe in a couple months we're talking about how, yeah, this team's inexperienced and the Warriors got championship pedigree and they can go into OKC and beat that team. And they've played them well. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, to your point earlier, Dan, I think it's true. It's like, I do not want the Warriors against a young, fast, tenacious, supremely talented roster when it comes to a seven-game series. And unfortunately, there's kind of a lot of them in the West.
So currently, as we hit the All-Star break, the Golden State Warriors, after that win against Houston, over the 500 mark at 28-27. So they got to catch the Clippers if they want to stay out of the play-in. And the Clippers currently at 31-23 are 3.5 games in front of the Warriors. So the big question now going forward is, can the Warriors in the second half of the season with this new-look team with Jimmy Butler now infusing this squad where they have that inside-outside. They got an inside. I don't know the last time they had a real interior presence, a real guy that can get to the line, slow it down, score. I mean, I
Durant.
But wasn't he more of a mid-range guy? I'm talking about living in the paint, like getting baseline, like just picking up those fouls because you're playing 4 feet from the hoop. Yeah,
I mean,
he
scored from wherever he wanted on the floor. That's how you get to 30,000 points. But no,
congratulations, by the way.
What?
Congratulations to KD's big week.
Oh yeah, I mean, it was overshadowed by the fact that his team's in just complete
turmoil.
Speaking
of overshadowed, remember the biggest trade in the beginning of the year is like, oh my god, Klay Thompson's in a Dallas Maverick uniform. Like, we're like so past that now that Luke is in L.A.
You know, it's like, you think Klay wishes he'd sign with the Lakers?
Right.
Well, I'm sure he thought he's going to be playing alongside Doncic this entire season and for the foreseeable future. And he's still got I think the Mavericks are still going to be an issue if AD can be healthy. And even not, I think the fact that Kyrie now has been given free reign, it's like,
yeah, I'm like, you know what, Kyrie, do that more than just one game where you went for 42. Yes, he was amazing, but welcome to Steph's world where it's just you and a bunch of plumbers and Uber drivers. Like, Steph's been doing that for going on nearly 4 years now, where everybody is just guarding you. If he can do that over the span of until whenever AD comes back, or if he does it for the remainder of the season, I'll give him his props. But he plays alongside Kevin Durant. You know, he plays alongside Luka. You know, he plays alongside LeBron James. Let's see him do what it is as a guard, what Steph's been doing, carry that load, what Steph's been doing for the last couple of years now, which is where it's just him and exclusively him. I know he did it for a game, but I'm not willing to go there. Maybe because I got some Kyrie hating me.
Well, number one, you'll see him in 8 days. He's going to be at Chase Center. Number two, yeah, he's not as good as Steph Curry, but that's who is? I mean, I think Kyrie's incredible. What he did against the Warriors was pretty ridiculous.
He was,
I mean,
so good.
He gave it to everyone. He cut off a slice of humble pie for just about every person on that roster that was forced to guard him. And he can get hot with the best of, like, what he did in that game is what Steph usually does. Like, that personal 9-0 run that he went on in the third quarter, in that last pull-up three, where he just sprinted into the front court and stopped on a dime and dropped one in whoever's face from 30 feet. Like, that was Curry-esque. He's not Curry. But Kyrie's a pretty damn good player, Dan, so put some respect on him.
Fossey's hanging out in the East Bay as we open up the phone lines. 888-957-9570 if you want to get in on the conversation. Good morning, Fossey. What's up, man?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate the conversation. But, look, I think some of those Western Conference teams that you guys are talking about, I think they all got worse, especially at the bottom there, Mavericks, Kings, Timberwolves. I think if the Warriors make a run for the playoffs, which I do think will happen, I think we take care of those teams. And even at the top of the Western Conference, the Thunder and the Grizzlies, I don't think the Warriors will have any issues with them, too, if they see them in the playoffs. I mean, those are really good teams. But we're talking about Steph Curry and playoff Jimmy Butler if we do get there. But, again, I do appreciate the conversation. I think one of the Western Conference teams that will give them the most problems is probably the Nuggets. But, again, we haven't even seen J.K. and Jimmy Butler on the floor yet, and I think that brings a different kind of dynamic as far as the offense goes. On the floor, you got two athletic guys and a sharpshooter out there. I think the Warriors will make a deep run again if we get to the playoffs, but let's get there first. Cheers, boys.
Thanks, Fossey. You know, a team that we left out, or at least that I left out, that I think is going to be very dangerous is Minnesota. As bad as it's been, they could be the Dallas of last year where it just suddenly comes together. And, you know, Naz Reid becoming a starter. Gobert has been hurt. If Randall figures this out, if DiVincenzo is like, okay, this is how we do it in Minnesota, they got the bodies along with a star, a true proven star in Anthony Edwards, where that could be a little problematic for everybody. I think everyone is just hoping that, okay, we just get through the season and it continues to be chaos in Minnesota, that they don't figure it out. But there's a chance the light could go on out there in Minnesota.
Well, they're starting to figure it out.
Yeah, they are.
And it's been because Julius Randle hasn't been playing.
And Naz Reid's now a starter.
Yeah, Naz Reid is awesome. And I think that's what's going to be the difference between them winning a couple postseason series like they did a year ago and potentially getting bounced in the first round. He's cat light. You know, I think he's a better defender than Karl Anthony Towns. He's obviously less gifted offensively. But Cat was able to somehow become a perfect complement for Rudy Gobert, and I think Naz Reid is that player. Julius Randle he's a good basketball player, but he just doesn't fit what they have. He doesn't apply himself defensively the way they need him to. He is ball dominant, and I think kind of ruins possessions more so than he helps them. So if Chris Finch is willing to do what needs to be done, which is bring that guy off the bench for the rest of this season and have Naz Reid play alongside Rudy, I do think that they have a chance to be very good. But at the end of the day, it's like in the postseason, it comes down to players. And that's what's exciting about the Warriors now is they now have a couple of players. Curry and Jimmy Butler are players. The Minnesota Timberwolves have Anthony Edwards. He's a dude. SGA and Chet, J-Dub, they're dudes. The Houston Rockets, I don't think, have a lot of dudes, although Amen Thompson is really impressive. Jalen Green's good. Şengün's good. But, you know, Memphis has got dudes. Like, but the Warriors now, I think, can legitimately look at a team and say, all right, how does our best two match up with their best two?
See, I think it comes down to, yes, dudes. I think it comes down to experience, especially in the NBA. Every single year, it's about who's been here before. And is a stage too big for you? All right, we want to continue the conversation. We see you on the phone lines. Hang on, 888-957-9570. We'll be back in less than 2 minutes as we continue with Warriors this week. I want to get into, can the Warriors catch the Clippers for the number 6 seed? Can you avoid this entire play-in? Do you think it could happen? It's 3.5 games with Jimmy Butler and Jonathan Kuminga on the horizon. Evan Giddings, Danabone, Warriors this week. We'll be back with more and your calls after this.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you.
95.7 The Game.
Is that Macklemore and Lewis back in the day?
Yes, sir.
So do you know that...
Seattle's finest, right?
Ryan Macklemore. No. What's Mac's first name?
I'm not sure. I know Ryan Lewis is the other guy I worked with.
Yeah, so he actually married somebody that I don't want to say I introduced the two. So he interned. This is a true story. And I gave...
Dan Cupid DeVoe.
No, I gave him, because I'm that kind of guy, a little bit of a... I'll just leave that out. He really wanted to get into photography back in the day. And he was a really artistic young man. And Macklemore was a huge, huge, huge Mariners fan.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And just sort of a knock-around guy that was doing rap way back when I was running around out there in Seattle. So congratulations to those two gentlemen who've hit it big. I do want to get into the Golden State Warriors and whether or not they can catch the number six seed right now, which is the L.A. Clippers, who are 31-23. Currently, the Warriors are 3.5 games back. Can they avoid the play-in and catch the Clips? I want to get into that. But first, let's hear from Hassan, who's hanging out in Dublin out in the East Bay. Hassan, welcome to the show. What's up, man?
Hi, good morning, sir. Thank you for taking my call. Really appreciate it. So, I'm a huge, avid admirer of 95.7. So, I look at the Western Conference, and I think nobody's talking about it too seriously. I personally feel the winner of Western Conference is going to be LA Lakers. I think with this trade of Luka and their offensive power with LeBron and Austin Reeves playing at a high level, and the recent trade rescinded, and they got the connect back on shooting. I think they're a hell of a good team now. And I agree with you. I think OKC still needs a couple of years, maybe another year to get past the Western Conference Finals. But I think it's going to be LA Lakers.
That's a good call, Hassan. Ev, what do you think? The Lakers? I mean, we got to see how – they didn't look very good against Utah in the home-and-home. But – they still don't have a big, because Mark Williams, we haven't talked since Mark Williams got
him. Yeah, you're welcome, by the way. You're welcome. I'll take a victory lap on that.
You know, the biggest omen out of all of that is here's Charlotte that's looking to rebuild, right? And if you're all about young players.
They almost pulled a fast one on Rob Pelinka.
And they're like, you know, they're looking to rebuild. Why the hell are they shopping a guy at 7'1" who's got all that athletic ability? What is it that they're hiding? And I bet you Rob Pelinka, you know how he likes to have coffee, right? That's how he got things done with Nico Harrison.
As do I.
I think he had coffee with somebody and they're like, well, bro, what are you doing? Hold on, man. Mark Williams, do you understand that Charlotte is trying to get rid of him? Ask yourself, why would Charlotte, who's all about a rebuild, all about young players, trying to give you a 22-year-old, 7'1" center? Look, get out of this thing.
Well, that's why.
It sounds a little hinky with the, you know.
Well, that's why you and the Kevin O'Connors of the world,
huh?
And the Bill Simmonses of the world,
huh?
You got to look deeper. You got to think about why. Why? This is always.
It's a great stick on your part. Great call.
Well, I always wonder at the deadline. Why is a player getting traded? Like, if that player is so good, why are they on the market? And the reason is obvious. He's broken. He cannot play basketball because he can't stay on the court. It's not that he's not good, and all the numbers you brought up were fair, but it's like, the only number that I care about is 35%. That's the amount of games that he's played. And he's 23 years old. So, the Los Angeles Lakers, I think, dodged a bullet. Now, what sucks about it is the fact that they even got swindled in the first place to make the deal meant that they couldn't go out and get a different center. And that, as much as I respect Hassan's insight and analysis about the Lakers, that is going to be their downfall. The reason why they lost to the Jazz is because Jackson Hayes got hurt during the middle of the game. Dorian Finney-Smith was out. And I forget who the other player was. Like, Dorian Finney-Smith is now maybe their best defensive player. Jackson Hayes is integral to what they have to do. They're not going to be able to guard anybody in the postseason because they traded all of their defense for the future, which it's a move you make 10 times out of 10. But the Lakers' downfall is going to be on the defensive end of the floor, and it's going to be because they don't have a big.
Well, they certainly don't have a rim protector. Really quick, just to get back to Mark Williams, how does that work when you rescind a trade? Let's just say Charlotte, in that interim window before Mark Williams was sent back to Charlotte, let's say Charlotte says, okay, we just lost a big. It's the trade deadline. Let's go make a move and, you know, we'll go get Lynn from Sacramento. What happens if they make a move to plug the gap of the so what they thought was a traded Mark Williams to that of the Los Angeles Lakers? Do they get to rescind that deal?
That I don't know. I mean, well, Lynn was like a buyout candidate, right?
No, I'm just saying, like, let's just say they made a trade to fill the void of Mark Williams.
Yeah.
And then Mark Williams comes back to the team, and now you have this player that you just traded for.
Oh, I see. No, that's a good question. I don't think that you can rescind both. You know, you're kind of stuck, which is why, I mean, you know, on paper, it looked really good, right? You got your point guard of the future, you got your center of the future. But if they made a different move, I don't think they'd be able to take that back.
That's just very...
So, the Dalton Connect Hornets era.
I love the Dalton Connect. He actually went to a Charlotte game, and he sat in street clothes at the end of the bench. And now he comes back, and it's just like, hey, you know, we really didn't mean any of that. We really do like you.
Yeah, now that I think about it, I spoke too soon. The happiest guy in that deal was Dalton Connect. You're telling me I was going to Charlotte, where I was probably going to sit around and mire in mediocrity for quite some time. I get back to Los Angeles. I don't care that they tried to trade me, or they may try to trade me this summer. Get me to a place that is not in basketball just purgatory. Like, Dalton Connect should be the happiest man right now in the city of Los Angeles.
Yeah, I'm with you. All this talk, it's going to be really awkward with Dalton Connect, and, you know, you just lost the guy because what it is that you just tried to trade him away. How's it going to work with him? He's, you know, he's not going to give you 100. Well, the hell with that. I mean, Dalton Connect. What a year for Dalton Connect. First of all, he goes to the Lakers, which was a bit of a surprise. And then you get traded to Charlotte. And then you go back to L.A. all in your rookie season. Yeah, I'm with you. You're just happy to be back in SoCal. But
100%.
I think that the fact that the Lakers don't have that rim protector, I just... You know, one of the things that I hate doing things on paper, like when we look at this and just like, you don't have a center, he's not going to, let's just see how this plays out. I know it doesn't make a lot of sense, but LeBron and Luka and Austin Reeves, the team's been white hot, even without AD. They've been one of the hottest teams in the NBA. They've moved up to the 5 seed, and they're knocking on the door for the 4 seed. So...
Yeah, but that was also, again, before they made that trade. Like, they were playing good basketball with and without, because he was hurt, Anthony Davis. You know, I don't know. It's going to be hard for the Warriors to climb the standings. There's also a super chat we got to get to here, Dan. Appreciate Echo Pest Control chiming in. Wants to mention the fact that, did you know that Jimmy makes more than Jordan Poole, Clay, and Wiggins? So what exactly did the front office accomplish? They traded a first with Poole. Poole's contract wasn't bad. Poole's a better player than Chris Paul. If you disagree, Jimmy should get them to the postseason, right? Yeah, I think Jimmy will get the Warriors to the postseason, Atco, and thank you for the donation. I think Jimmy will get the Warriors to the playoffs. I think it's gonna be really hard for them to get to the 6. Like, I know that the Warriors' goal is to get to the 6, but to me the most realistic path to making noise in the playoffs if you're Golden State is winning the first play-in game. It's getting to the 7 or the 8, having a one-shot crack at not having to play OKC in the first round. And that one game is the scenario why you traded for Jimmy Butler, because he has a history of playing well in big moments, alongside Steph and Draymond, obviously. That's why you put this 3 together, I think, is for a play-in scenario, which they haven't had a lot of success in recent memory.
I think as an older team, you want to avoid playing games that you don't necessarily have to. If you can avoid playing in that play-in tournament, get to the 6th seed. I think that's going to be more beneficial, especially when you talk about your best players being as old as they are. Because right now,
you got to jump 4 teams, though. I know they're 3.5 games back.
No, it's difficult. I hear you. But when you think about those four teams, those are four teams. We'll see what happens to Minnesota. Again, they're sort of the danger on the outside. They scare me. But if the chaos continues, Dallas is sinking like a stone. Those are teams that are coming back to you. I mean, you could be headed in a different... The Warriors are headed in one direction. I think those other teams are sort of fading quickly, potentially.
That I agree with. Like, so Lorenzo Neal, who helps us out during football season, playing the league for damn near 20 years, he always talks about in the NFL, at the further you get into the year, you either get better or you get worse. Like, you don't stay the same. And I think that's the same for all sports, because the war of attrition takes its toll, and either you're able to fight through it because you can see yourself gaining momentum, gaining ground. Like, I think the Warriors now have that adrenaline boost, right? The injection of life that is Jimmy Butler. They're a team that's getting better. Sacramento got worse at the deadline. I think they're going to fade. They're going to get worse. I think because of injuries, the Dallas Mavericks will get worse. I don't see the Timberwolves getting worse. I don't see the Clippers getting worse. And so to me, if you're the Warriors, like, getting to the eight, I don't necessarily think is going to be that tall of a task. I mean, it's not going to be easy. Like, you're going to have to win on the 23rd against Dallas. You're going to have to start, you're going to have to stack wins over your last 27. But jumping the Timberwolves and the Clippers, or even the Lakers if they fall a little bit, I think that's going to be really hard, because those teams are playing better. They're getting better. And I don't see them falling below like 46 or 47 wins. Like, the West might again have 650 win teams or 550 win teams, and that sixth seed is at 48 or 49. And, you know, again, the Warriors just got to play really solid basketball, consistent basketball for the rest of this season. And while they're 3-1 to begin the Jimmy Butler era, Dan, they still have not yet won three in a row since they started 12-3. And you're going to have to win at least three in a row if you're looking at getting to the six.
That's going to come to an end, I think.
I would hope so.
Just getting back to Jimmy Butler and the identity, and I think that's really sort of the operative word here, is that they finally have an identity. I see the Golden State Warriors now, and I know what the hell it is that they're doing. I understand who they are, what sort of basketball team they are, and it's not just Steph and then a bunch of guys. And one of the things that Butler does is just, I love the fact that he just lives in the paint. I don't know if you know anything about me, like, there's too many guys shooting threes, and the fact that he's all mid-range and or just right around the rim, and slows down the game also by getting to the free throw line so you can regather. That's been certainly something that's been much talked about. But I really think the true identity that he brings to this team specifically is when Steph's off the floor. Because they've been groping for an answer for years now. And sometimes it was Jordan Poole, but that didn't work out, so they went and got Chris Paul. This year, Andrew Wiggins can be good, but, you know, I know he was consistent this year, but how reliant are you on Andrew Wiggins going forward? It's always been sort of this, you know, all of these sort of different iterations, and nothing really stuck. Now, there's no doubt. When Steph's off the floor, the offense now goes through one guy, and it's Jimmy Butler. There's another alpha on this basketball team, and it's Jimmy Butler. It's clearly his team when Steph is off the floor. There's another adult in the room. And I know Draymond plays that role to a certain degree, but Draymond is not an offensive threat. And Draymond, because of his lack of ability to score the basketball, doesn't give you the same sort of presence in terms of having that stability. And now with Steph, and Steph, when he's sitting on a bench for the first time in I don't know how long, that you feel as though the Golden State Warriors are in good hands, or at least have a purpose and a direction, and once again, an identity.
Well, he makes them better, but there are consequences, and that is you traded your best perimeter defender. You also traded your second-best three-point shooter by percentage. Like, that's just a fact. And the Warriors were already a team that wasn't a very good three-point shooting team. So I, like you, enjoy watching Jimmy Butler get into the post. I think his mid-range game is going to come. I still think his jump shot is more of a feel thing that he's working through. He made his first three against the Rockets, but he's not a three-point shooter. You know, the Warriors are going to have to figure out how to score in a different way than they did before. I think that, like, for example, the Kerr strategy of getting up 45 or 50 threes at the beginning of the year, like that can't be the strategy anymore. The strategy has to be, I think, trying to figure out how they can stack, you know, good possessions inside the three-point line. And if Curry's open, maybe Buddy is coming off the bench, if Pajemski's an adequate three-point shooter, you know, Moody is at, I think, 37 or 38%. They have some decent three-point shooters, but they lost someone that could knock three or four threes down if you need him to. So their offense is going to look different. It might be more effective, it might not be, but they got better, I think, overall, but they got worse in some areas. So, you know, the one thing that I think Jimmy does, again, his game translates to the playoffs, like it just does. Mid-range has to be available to you in the postseason because teams are going to shut the water off if you're a team that only shoots threes. The fact that Jimmy Butler can get to the free throw line better than anybody since they had Kevin Durant. Even Kuminga, who gets to the line a lot, is not as good of a shooter as Butler is. That's something that excites me. And how Kuminga pairs with him when he comes back as another player that also is good inside the three-point line. That excites me. But I think the Warriors' offense is going to look a lot different. And not that Wiggins was some sniper from three-point range, but now Buddy Hield's not starting. Wiggins is gone. Is it post? Like, you just don't have a lot of three-point threats left on this team.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned post because now you have options. Like, now you have this stretch five where you can, depending on the matchup, you can insert Quentin Post. There's options to this basketball team that they otherwise didn't have. Or otherwise, you can start Kevon Looney, or you could just go small. Suddenly, there's variables that weren't available to Steve Kerr that with, obviously, the addition of Jimmy Butler and now the emergence of Quentin Post, that now he has at his disposal. One thing about Jimmy Butler, if I was to be critical, is that, and he's always done this, and I think it's important to keep in mind, he's still getting his sea legs. Like that game against, you know, you pointed out Kyrie Irving's huge performance. I would say that might, you know, one of the reasons why it was one of his greatest games is because he won it with a defensive play by taking that charge and Jimmy Butler. But I think if Butler's in midseason form or if he's been playing basketball, we have to keep in mind that he was in that doghouse and was suspended indefinitely out there in Miami, is that if Jimmy Butler was playing basketball on the regular, he gets that hoop. He stays to his right hand, but he's still a little awkward simply because I don't think he has his legs. But one of the things that he does that drives me nuts.
Jimmy?
Yeah, you see a lot of this in the NBA. If you're 6'7", and you got to step on a guy, and you're headed to the hoop, and it looks as though you're either going to dunk or you're going to get the layup, and then you kick out at the last minute because people are so in love with a three, and you're going, you know, Daryl Morey, it's like, give me the three. Stop doing that. Like, get to the rim, either get fouled or get the bucket. Stop. Put on the horse blinders. Once you get a step on a guy and you're a big, don't worry about who's hanging out on the periphery. Don't worry about who's standing in three-point territory. The draw and kick, I know, is such a big part of today's game, right? It's about puncturing a defense and then kicking the three-point shooters. Like, that's the formula to winning, almost to a fault. Like, Jimmy Butler, on a couple of occasions, is at the rack, and then at the last instance is kicking out to Moses Moody for a 25-foot three that he misses.
Well, but if Moody makes that three against the Mavericks, you probably win the game. And that's where the Warriors are going to run into trouble. You're right. Maybe he shouldn't kick out to a shooter. But he is. He will do that. Everyone on the war, it's the way the game is played. You drive and kick. And if the shot is there, then it's, you got to live and die with it. And what do the Warriors not have a lot of? Quality three-point shooters. Like, Moses Moody is a fine three-point shooter. He's not elite. When Kuminga comes back, he's not an elite three-point shooter. Even Buddy Hield, who probably has the best ability outside of Seth to be an elite three-point shooter, has not been that this season. Pajemski's not a threat as much as he can make some three. Draymond's not a threat.
No,
Jimmy's not a threat.
He's been, well, we got to give him his props. He's been much better of late.
Who?
pods?
Oh, yeah. No. Well, shooting percentage-wise, but as far as, like, I also wonder how he's going to play now that he's back in the starting lineup. Because I think that he had a really nice role carved out for himself as a guy off the bench that could come in, play alongside either Steph or Jimmy, play up tempo, force pace, but now he's the starting two. Like, now he's going to have to check the best guard on the other team. That's a lot to ask of Pajemski, and I don't think he's someone that is going to be able to do that. So, you know, the Warriors roster is still not without holes. Like, they still got two positions that they got to figure out. And just because Pods is taking over for Hield doesn't mean that he's the answer. He's just a better answer than Chivano. Just because Post is playing center doesn't mean he's the answer. He's just a better answer for Trayce Jackson-Davis, who, oh, by the way, got his first minutes last night in a basketball game for the first time in like 2 weeks.
Hey, how did you
being in the Rising Stars Challenge?
How did you do last night?
I don't know.
Oh, they won.
Dude, I was at the Cigar Lounge. I wasn't watching that game.
Oh, yeah, so he's moved on, man.
I heard about, so Terrell Owens was at the party last night because he came over from the celebrity game. I heard he had 17.
Oh, wow.
Or 18 points. But it was a joke, too. Like, I think the celebrity game was a combined 2-for-40 from three-point range. Mm. It was like the Warriors against the Mavericks.
Miles Garrett in that thing again?
No, I don't think they let... I don't think they let football players in, active ones. No, it was like, I saw Drewski's in it as a comedian. I think he's pretty funny. Two Chainz was that's it. Two Chainz, the best basketball player on that floor, and he was a coach. He didn't even play.
Mm.
I think Bonds and Rice were the two celebrity coaches. I don't know, Dan. The All-Star Weekend is just...
Bonds was a baller back in the day. Shout out Sarah High School.
Oh, yeah. No, he's legit. The guy's an amazing athlete. But the All-Star Weekend just ain't what it used to be, man.
You have this outlook, but I'm telling you, young fella, it's going to be revitalized. It's going to be resuscitated this weekend.
Tonight?
Oh, I don't know what's going on tonight. Nah, forget about all this nonsense.
What's part of the weekend?
The game. Tonight. Or tomorrow night. I'm really... The Rising Stars tournament, first of all, was legit. And I think that the Rising Stars, now that Trayce Jackson-Davis led Rising Stars to take on, who are they going to play in the first round? So, first of all, for those of you that aren't familiar with it,
they're going to play the OGs. They're going to play Shaq's team.
They're going to play Shaq's
team. So, Curry, Durant, LeBron.
So, I think that, first of all, for those of you that aren't familiar with the new format, so they have the Rising Stars tournament that took place last night. And so four Rising Star teams played, right? Two semifinal games. And then the champion now advances into the All-Star Tournament, which is comprised of three teams that were drafted by the three TNT personalities, that being Kenny Smith, Shaquille O'Neal, and Charles Barkley, made up of obviously the best players in the NBA. And the fourth team is this Rising Star team. So the Rising Star team will play a semifinal game with the winner advancing to take on the winner of the two All-Star game of the two All-Star teams.
Yeah, but it's like the 16 seed play-in game. Like, whoever gets the, you know, Norfolk State is just going to go get waxed by Virginia. Yeah, the Rising Stars have no chance to beat the older squad.
You have a chance if it's the All-Stars that we've seen over the last decade. You sure as hell do. You can win that game. I bet there's a line on it. I'll take the points, man.
I know that I'm young, but give me the old guys.
How about we do this? Find out the line on that game.
Anyways.
I'll take the points. Man, why are you so sour? You get the whole world in front of you. You get the world by the gonads, my man.
Yeah, the world's going to hell.
We'll be back. Yes, D-Day is on its way. Evan Giddings, Dan Avone, 95.7 The Game continues right after this.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
College holds a mythic place in American culture.
On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.